Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Jugupsitam dharma krite nushasatak.
Jugupsitam dharma krite nushasatak.
Swabhava raktasya mahan vyati kramaha.
Swabhava raktasya mahan vyati kramaha.
Yad vakyato dharma itiritastito. Namanyate tasya nivaranam janaha.
Namanyate tasya nivaranam janaha.
Jugupsitam dharma krite nushasatak.
Jugupsitam dharma krite anushasatak.
Svabhavaraktasya mahan vyati krama.
Svabhavaraktasya mahan vyati krama.
Yad vakyato dharma iti tarakstito.
Yad vakyato dharma iti tarakstito.
Namanyate tasya nivaranam jana.
Namanyate tasya nivaranam.
Jugupsitam.
Jugupsitam.
Verily condemned.
Verily condemned.
Dharma krite.
Dharma krite.
For the matter of religion.
For the matter of religion.
Anushasataha.
Anushasataha.
Instruction.
Instruction.
Swabhavaraktasya.
Swabhavaraktasya.
Naturally inclined.
Naturally inclined.
Mahan,
Mahan,
great,
vyati
kramaha,
unreasonable,
yat vakyataha, under whose instruction, dharmaha,
religion,
iti, it is thus. Itadaha, the people in general. Stitaha, fixed. Na, do not. Manyate, think. Tasya,
of that.
Nivaranam,
prohibition.
Janaha, they. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy, and you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. This is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instructions, they will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for prohibitions. Purport. Srila Vyasadeva's compilation of different Vedic literatures on the basis of regulated performance of fruitive activities, as depicted in the Mahabharata and other literatures, is condemned herewith by Srila Narad. The human beings, by long material association, life after life, have a natural inclination, by practice, to endeavor to lord it over material nature. The Vedas are meant for going back to Godhead, back home, to revolve in the cycle of transmigration, in a series of lives numbering 8 1,400,000 is an imprisoned life for the condemned conditioned souls. The human form of life is a chance to get out of this imprisoned life. And as such, the only occupation of the human being is to reestablish his lost relationship with God. Under the circumstances, one should never be encouraged in making a plan for sense enjoyment in the name of religious functions. Such diversion of the human energy results in a misguided civilization. Srila Vyasadeva is the authority in Vedic explanations in the Mahabharata, etc. And his encouragement in sense enjoyment in some form or other is a great barrier for spiritual advancement, because the people in general will not agree to renounce material activities which hold them in material bondage. At a certain stage of human civilization, when such material activities in the name of religion, as sacrificing animals in the name of yajna, were too much rampant, the Lord incarnated himself as Buddha and decried the authority of the Vedas in order to stop animal sacrifice in the name of religion. This was more foreseen by Narada and therefore condemned such literatures. The flesh eaters still continue to perform animal sacrifice before some demigod or goddess in the name of religion, because in some of the Vedic literature, such regulated sacrifices are recommended. They are so recommended to discourage flesh eating. But gradually, the purpose of such religious activities is forgotten, and the slaughterhouse becomes prominent. This is because foolish materialistic men do not care to listen to others who are actually in a position to explain the Vedic rites. In the Vedas, it is distinctly said that the perfection of life is never to be attained either by voluminous work or by accumulation of wealth or even by increasing the population. But it is so attained only by renunciation. The materialistic men do not care to listen to such injunctions. According to them, the so-called renounced order of life is meant for those who are unable to earn their livelihood because of some corporeal defects, or for persons who have failed to achieve prosperity in family life. In histories like the Mahabharata, of course, there are topics on transcendental subjects along with the material topics. The Bhagavad Gita is there in the Mahabharata. The whole idea of the Mahabharata culminates in the ultimate instructions of the Bhagavad Gita that one should relinquish all other engagements and should engage oneself solely and fully in surrendering unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. But men with materialistic tendencies are more attracted to the politics, economics, and philanthropic activities mentioned in the Mahabharata than to the principal topic, namely the Bhagavad Gita. This compromising spirit of Vyasadeva is directly condemned by Narada, who advises him to directly proclaim that the prime necessity of human life is to realize one's eternal relationship with the Supreme and with the Lord, and thus surrender unto him without delay. A patient suffering from a particular type of malady is almost always inclined to accept eatables which were forbidden for him. The expert physician does not make any compromise with the patient by allowing him to take partially what he should not take at all. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that a man attached to fruitive work should not be discouraged from his occupation, for gradually he may be elevated to the position of self-realization. This is sometimes applicable for those who are only dry empiric philosophers without spiritual realization. But those who are in the devotional line need not always be so advised. The mass of people who are attached to their materialistic life are very unfortunate. Kutak punak shashvara badram ishvare nacharpitam karma yadapya karana. Work which is not dedicated to the pleasure and the glory of God is akaranam. It's useless. It's nashobati. It's not at all glorious. It's very unfortunate that most of the people in the world are satisfied to live a life not much better than the four-legged animals. Eating, sleeping, having sex, fighting, and not much else. And even though they have a human brain, they have an ear, they have 2 ears, and they have a tongue, they use their brain to fill it up with mundane news. They read the newspaper and look at the television to find out how other people are eating, sleeping, having sex, and fighting. And that is their education. That is their entertainment. If they would simply shift their attention to the real business of life, they could become fortunate. The Vedic path is one of gradual elevation through performance of sacrifice, through charity or austerity, dana, yajna, and sacrifice. Those three, yajna, dana, tapa. This is the Vedic program by which unfortunate, ignorant, confused living entities can be gradually elevated, can be purified from the lower modes of tamas and rajas, gradually reach the mode of goodness. Satvam yad brahma darshanam. In the mode of goodness, they have a chance to realize the absolute truth and to re-establish their personal connection with the Supreme. So the Vedic path is very useful. Narada is condemning it here, but he's because in a special context, Vyasadeva has done his good work, but it's not good enough. He needs to do something special. So therefore his guru is urging him on. It's not actually a total condemnation of the Vedic system, because it serves its purpose for gradual elevation of the very conditioned materialistic souls. But Narada is not, like his brothers, a proponent of karmakanda. Lord Brahma had a number of sons born from his mind who became his principal disciples. Marichi Adi, headed by Marichi, Pulastha, Pulaha, Kratu, others. Narada was his last son, or at least he's the tenth. And there are a few others after that. The others, the 9 older brothers of Narada, not counting the Kumaras, they were Gamis, who later became devotees. But the 9 sons, excluding Narada, beginning with Marichi, were Karmakandis. To ritualistic work. We wouldn't say they were gross materialists. They were very pious. after Brahma, they were the next generation of authorities on the Vedic knowledge. Very elevated souls. Much better than all the Brahmins you can assemble nowadays. You can have a contest, you know, who is the best Brahmana, and bring all the Brahmanas and test them all, and pick out the few best. But Marichi and his brothers, much better Brahmanas, much more in the mode of goodness. Still, their interest was karmakanda, using the rituals for progressing themselves in their material position. Now, they saw the Vedas as a way to fulfill their material desires. Only Narada had the interest in pure devotion of all the sons of Brahma. Therefore, his program is not one of gradual ritualistic elevation. Narada's idea of spiritual life is pure bhakti and nothing less than that. Therefore, he's speaking so bluntly to his disciple and telling him, this is not very good. It's contemptible what you've done. Anyway, guru can talk like that to his disciple. It's for the benefit of the disciple. What's the use if the guru flatters you? That means you're not a sincere disciple. That you have to be flattered. You know, if I don't flatter this disciple, he'll go away. Okay, so I tell him he's doing very good. Then I tell him he's wonderful. And put him in a big position. Because otherwise, he'll give up. That's how a guru has to deal with the immature disciple. He has to flatter him to keep him in Krishna consciousness. But a sincere, dedicated disciple can be chastised severely. He'll take it. He's asking for it. Please correct me. That's a sincere, mature disciple. And Vyasadeva is certainly such a disciple of Narada. Narada has so many disciples all over the universe. We can, it's not a risky judgment to say that Vyasadeva is among the very best disciples of Narada. Most dedicated. So Narada can chastise him very severely and it will not jeopardize the relationship. Vyasadeva will not become discouraged. The reaction is he sat down and meditated and composed Srimad Bhagavatam. If I can be encouraged to do such a thing by my guru, let him chastise me, like anything. If the result of the chastisement is that the disciple accepts a great responsibility, then it's worthwhile. Just like a surgeon does violence to his patients. He's taking a knife and cutting up your belly. A thing that if someone did that in broad daylight in the street, that would be a horrible crime. If someone came with a knife and cut me up. But the surgeon is doing it to save your life. Like that, the sadhu. Sadhu can be understood, the verb sad can be understood as meaning to cut. He's cutting the disciple with sharp words. If the disciple can take it. You have to be prepared for major surgery. Some people cannot take it. There are two, a man who's 95 years old. You're not going to, you know, give him major surgery. He's too weak. Usually. So you have to be fit for the surgery. Otherwise the surgeon will say, I'm sorry. You know, it's too risky. So the disciple has to be capable of it taking the correction of the guru. Anyway, here Narada is Vyasadeva is perfectly capable. People tend to be very attached to their conditioning. Svabhava raptasya mahan vyati kramaha. It's not good because what you've done, encouraging people to remain materialistic and call it religious. Because people generally tend to be very attached to whatever conditioning they're in. This is the avaranatmika shakti of the Supreme Lord. The covering potency by which we're always satisfied in whatever position we're in. A pig lives on stool. He lives in the gutter. But he's very fat and satisfied. Prabhupada commented in a lecture that the fact that he's fat means he's satisfied. A person who's satisfied can become fat. So the pig is happy in his life, but it's an abominable life. This is the covering potency of Maya. Lord Indra got cursed to be a pig once, some story. I don't know why. He became a pig. Okay.
And then Brihaspati left.
And then he became a pig? That, okay. Because of offense, a neglect of his spiritual master, Indra became a pig once. And the demigods were in trouble because Indra was not there to lead them. So they sent a party to invite Indra, please come back. But he didn't want to. What do you mean? I have my family and my house. Everything is comfortable here in the pigsty. I'm not going to leave this. You want me to go to this place in the sky? I'm not going. And these other demigods didn't know what to do. Finally, they murdered the pig mother, the pig wife and children in order to force Indra to renounce his piggish life. But he didn't want to renounce. You know, until they did that. Then he finally gave in. Okay, oh my God. Okay, then he came back to his senses and went back to heaven. But this is how strong the covering potency of Maya is. You may be living in some city in the middle of a civil war and snipers are shooting at you in the street. You can't even go out to the sabji mandi without getting someone shooting a rifle at you. And still you don't want to leave. It's your home. Now the city's under siege. Terrorists are shooting at you from the building tops. And still you won't go somewhere else. Because you're so attached to your place, to your material conditioning. This is Swabhava Raktasya. And Narada is very much aware of this. Now, he doesn't have his head in the clouds, impractical man who doesn't realize what's really going on in the world. Narada can see the unfortunate condition of the people who are living in this world. So he's therefore telling his disciple, don't do this. Or rather, you must correct what you've done. You must temper it by compiling another book that will clarify the matter. People have to be encouraged to take to pure devotional service. Otherwise, they'll remain forever attached to their comfortable situation in their pigsties. They're tamasic, rajasic, and sattvic pigsties. Eating kadarya bhokshana kore. Karma kanda, jnana kanda, kevala bishera bandha. This karma kanda and jnana kanda are just like vessels full of poison. And someone's drinking out of these bottles filled with poison, thinking that it's something nice to drink. He's committing suicide by drinking the poison and dying over and over again, not just once. Nana Joni, this is Narottam Das Thakur's song. Nana Joni Sadapire. He's constantly recycling through various species of life. You're a human being now. There's no guarantee you'll be a human being in the next life. Some infraction will cause you to take birth as an animal, maybe a pig, maybe something worse. Look at the animal life. Look on the floor. You know, the big insect is swallowing whole the little insect. You like to live like that? You cannot walk down the street without fearing that some person 10 times bigger than you will come and bite your head off? Can you live happily like that? This is animal life. Jivo jivasya jivanam. And you can see it right in front of you. Just sitting in your room while you're chanting japa. Look what's happening on the walls. How the creatures are devouring each other. This is animal life. And the danger is that we can take birth in as animals again. Simply because we're attached to karma. Anybody who does not wear this Kanti Mala, anyone who does not have this Urdhva Pundra, he's subject to being arrested at the time of death by the attendants of Yamaraj, the Yamadutas. And he has to go to be judged. He may have done so many acts of punya in his life, but he has to account for everything. If he did anything wrong, he'll have to go to hell for that. If he's not a devotee, only those who have done the service of Vishnu, at least done some of it, made some attempt to become a devotee of Vishnu, only they are exempt from judgment and punishment in the court of Yamaraj. Svalpam apyasya dharamasyam trayate mahatobayat. A little bit of devotional service, even a few weeks attempt, and then given up. But even that will save you from having to go to the court of Yamaraj and having to take birth probably as an animal, in which anybody can come and bite your head off at any moment. So Narada is aware of this. Therefore, he's pushing Vyasadeva to promote pure devotional service. The only thing that will give living entities security and hope from this horrible prospect of continued material existence. Cycling up and down, sometimes a demigod, sometimes a worm in a stool. Adjustments have to be made from time to time in different ages to the practical principles of religion. The Lord Himself participates in this adjustment. He sometimes appears to teach different religious principles, like Lord Buddha, Prabhupada discusses in the purport, appeared to make adjustment in the misuse of Vedic sacrifice for the killing of animals, to protect the animals. As Jayadev Kavi sings, in order to save the helpless animals, Lord Vishnu appeared as Buddha Dev to decry the Vedic sacrifice and stop it so that it wouldn't be misused. This is an adjustment according to the needs of a particular time, an adjustment made by the Lord Himself in the application of the eternal principles of religion. Not only the Lord Himself, but many sages and other devotees also help make these adjustments. There are many different Dharma Shastras, textbooks of religious principles for different members of society. Manusmriti is one of them. There are at least 50, 57 other smritis, Dharma Shastras, by different rishis. Because the principles have to be adjusted in each age. There are eternal principles of religion, such as described in the Bhagavad Gita, essential principles of eternal religion. That doesn't change. Imam vivasute yogam prokdavanaham avyayam. This yoga is avyaya, infallible. It doesn't have to be adjusted. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Vivaswan by Krishna over 2 million years ago. And the same Bhagavad Gita, at least the ideas are the same, maybe the words are a little different, but the same ideas, the same principles were taught to Arjuna only 5,000 years ago. And are still applicable to us today, and will be applicable for the rest of time, unchanging. Those are eternal religious principles, but some principles are not eternal. The practical principles of organizing human society, the Varnashram Dharma, that has to be adjusted in each age. What's appropriate for one age is not appropriate for another. In the Treta Yuga, animal sacrifice was promoted by the great sages because it was good. It was good for the animals. They got a human birth. It was good for the performers because they were doing their dharma. This was the way to become Krishna conscious in Treta Yuga. By doing a big soma sacrifice and maybe even killing a horse or a cow in the sacrifice. But that was the authorized procedure. Not in Kali Yuga, not in our age, but in Treta Yuga. The principles change. So now there's a change of time. Vyasadeva and Narada are speaking at the very end of the Dwarpa Yuga. Kali Yuga is very soon about to begin. A major change of time. Just like now where the rainy season is beginning. A change of time. Things have to be adjusted. You know, now everyone, all the stores are selling umbrellas. Because everyone has to have an umbrella. So like that, things have to change. Kali Yuga is about to begin. Appropriate application of the eternal principles has to be applied. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam has to be re-manifested. The Bhagavatam is eternal. What the Bhagavatam teaches is eternal. But it also has a special relationship with Kali Yuga. Srimad Bhagavatam especially puts emphasis, importance, on the Dharma of Nam Sankirtana. In many places in the Bhagavatam, Hari Nam Sankirtan and remembrance of Hari and glorification of Hari are emphasized. This is especially for Kali Yuga. So Bhagavatam is eternal, but the time when it's especially useful is in the Kali Yuga, Srimad Bhagavatam. Kalau nasta drisham esha puranarko arunoditaha. Now, the Bhagavatam has arisen like the sun. The sun is there. It doesn't come into existence at dawn, but we begin to see it. It's manifest to us, not in the nighttime, but after the dawn. So now the dawn has come. Vibhavari shesha alokopovesha. The night is over. The morning has begun. Bhagavatam has arisen on the horizon. And it will give light to those who are suffering in darkness in this Kali Yuga. Thanks to the pressure put on Narada, on Vyasadeva by his guru Narada. This whole narration and the other stories given in this first canto are basically introduction describing the appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva will come at the end of the canto and will begin speaking at the beginning of the second canto. The first canto serves especially to introduce the appearance, the glorious appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's what we're reading about now. How Narada is instructing and encouraging, not just discouraging by telling him what he did was horrible. That's countered with, balanced with the positive encouragement. Now you sit down and compose the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's the point we're at here. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Yes,
so those literatures still serve some purpose. So why are we condemning them? If we, like you mentioned, they still serve a purpose for gradual elevation.
It's not a blanket condemnation. Although he's talking very sharply, and Prabhupada is talking very sharply in the purport. But the Vedas have their place. But this is the time to introduce something special. You know? For Vyasadeva, it is important to put that aside and now give his attention fully to manifesting the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's a local condemnation. It's you know, it's not appropriate right now to keep the emphasis on Karmakanda. Kali Yuga is about to begin. He's not saying it's bad completely all the time for everybody. This gradual process of elevation by sacrifice. But it's not the right time now. You know, it's good to sleep at night. Everyone has to sleep. But if the brahmachari is still sleeping at 7 o'clock, temple commander has to come and tell him, what is this nonsense? Why are you sleeping here? This is nonsense. So he condemns. Sleeping at 7 o'clock in the morning is condemned. Sleeping at 10 o'clock at night is correct. It's a matter of the wrong time to be doing it. Okay. Anything else? Yes. In general, in Jyotish, yes. Ayurveda also, the Oshada herbs that were potent in previous age, 5,000 years ago, are not going to have the same potency in Kali Yuga. Everything becomes weaker. So adjustments have to be made in the formulas for medication in Kali Yuga. In Ayurveda, in all practical branches of science, it's the eternal principles of essential spiritual knowledge that don't change. Atmadharma is the same. The science of the soul, that doesn't change. But when we talk about the science of the mind and the science of the body, that has to change. That has to be adjusted according to circumstances. Okay? Yes, Domenico.
See, what is the destiny of the sons of Brahma who are, for example, you mentioned they are most engaged in Karmakanda. Are they being elevated later, or are they on the gradual process up, or they are down in the Karmakanda?
They're going up, but gradually. The Vedanta Sutra explains Yavada Adhikaraha. If you're a demigod or a sage, you have to serve in your post for at least one manvantara. Millions of years. Hundreds of millions of years. You can't get your liberation until you've finished your assignment as a demigod or a sage. So it's very gradual. Now, hundreds of millions of years before you can get out of this world. Only because you've accepted a material position. So they're stuck. Their perfection will come, but after a long time. We know also the story that they criticized their father for becoming attracted to his daughter, and they got cursed. They became sons of Kalanemi and then of Hiranyakashipu, right? Am I right? Yeah. And they got killed. Marichi and his brothers. And then they became, and then Kamsa, then the sons of Devaki, and they became third time, the sons of Devaki and Vasudeva. So they had to suffer for some aparad they did. They would not have done that aparad if their consciousness was in pure Krishna, was perfectly Krishna conscious. Yes.
Usually we say that the positions or seats of the demigods are like seats and jiva receives.
Yes.
And the sages are also positions or
yes. Similar, parallel. And the terms are the same. Just like in a government, the ministers serve for parliamentary government, but in my country and is there for 4 years. Yeah. And so the President of the United States is there for 4 years, unless he gets reelected. And then all the bureaucrats in the government also are there. You know, all the posts that the President appoints, they also serve for 4 years. The appointed positions. different classes. So like that, there are different classes of administrators. There are the demigods who are like kshatriyas, rulers. And they're the universal kshatriyas. And the rishis, the sages, they're the universal brahmanas. But there's a parallel similarity that they both serve for the term of as long as Manu is there, they serve for that duration. As long as a particular Manu is ruling. So it's a post also, but it's a brahminical post, advisory post, teaching post, not a managing post. Okay. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.